There is a practice in the Orthodox tradition to tell jokes at Easter in honor of the joke that Jesus played on death. Unfortunately for you, there is no prescription as to the quality of the joke. So you will have to bear with me or find me better jokes for next Easter. A teacher was testing the children in her Sunday school class to see if they understood what it takes to get to heaven. So she asked them, "Class, if I sold my house and my car and had a big garage sale and gave all my money to the church, would that get me into heaven?" In unison, the answer came back, "No!" She continued, "If I came and cleaned the church every day, repaved the parking lot, that would get you closer. And you know, I kept everything neat and tidy, would that get me into heaven?" Again, the answer with some confidence was no. Now she was smiling, right? They're getting it, she thought. All this time and work is paying off. "Well then, if I was kind to animals, helped old folks cross the street, gave toys to all the children, would that get me into heaven?" Once more, with six-year-old lungs, the answer was no. She was just bursting with pride for them. "Well now," she continued, "then how can I get into heaven?" Johnny's answer rang out from the back of the class. "You gotta be dead." A few nights ago on Maundy Thursday, we entered into deep mystery, immersing ourselves in Jesus' last meal with his friends. We knelt down here and with total attention washed another's feet, and then received their care in return. We gathered around this table, eating bread and drinking wine, remembering Jesus' promise that whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, he will be there. Then, in preparation for Good Friday, we stripped away all of the beauty within this sacred space. Out went the silver and the brass. The candles were all extinguished and removed. The fair linen was carefully folded and then set aside. And at the last, we removed the bread and the wine, ways which we know Jesus to be present. And slowly, silently, we processed out these doors, down the sidewalk, and into our chapel. There in darkness, lit by flickering candlelight, surrounded by greens and blossoms, we placed the bread and the wine on the altar to keep watch. And we sang. Packed in that chapel, we sang, "Kindle a flame to lighten the dark and take all fears away." Then, after some time, "Stay with me, remain here with me, watch and pray." Over and over and over again, in full voice, with open hearts. After minutes of singing, I really don't know how many, the chant came to an end and then was replaced with silence. You know that kind of silence that can be held by many, many people together. It was sacred. It was profound. No one wanted to leave. We remained kneeling, sitting, standing, being. And then a small voice in a whisper, You know that kind of whisper that one makes after holding on to a question so big, so important that you just can't keep it back any longer? This small voice whispered, "Mommy, is Jesus coming back?" Her mom was right next to her. Her hushed voice responded, "We'll have to wait and see." The small voice waited for a moment. It was like she was letting it sink in. Then she whispered back, "I really hope he does." Now, there is much to witness to in that holy moment. First, anyone who has not experienced the power of symbol and of liturgy, know that it speaks, often without words and in a language that all can come close to. Second, notice her mom's response. Her mom did not say, "Shh, people are praying." Her mom knew that prayer was at the core of the question. Her mom also did not say, "Don't worry, nothing bad is going to happen to him." Because there are times when the actions of Good Friday do come to pass. But these times do not have the final word. And so what her mom did was to wonder with her, not leaving the question without assurance, but accompanying this question with a promise that she would wait with her and that there would be something to see. "I really hope he does." Out of the mouths of babes often comes a wisdom that we adults fear to utter. 20th century theologian Karl Barth once offered something very similar. He said that the reason why people show up to church on Easter Sunday or any Sunday is to answer this question: "Is it true? Is this true?" I don't know why you have come this Sunday to All Souls Parish to celebrate Easter, but I am so glad that you have, that you put on your Sunday best or that you just got dressed, that you braved parking possibly blocks and blocks away, that you are here. Here to sing, to marvel, to hear the story, to share the meal. And my hope for you and for me is that this morning we too can approach this moment with the reverential awe of that small voice. "I really hope he does." Because so often we come to this Easter morning with layers on top of layers, and I'm not even talking about bunnies or peeps even. I mean the centuries of accrued expectation. For unless we are coming to this Easter for the very first time in our lives, we have a sense of how this ends, which is good, except that if this prevents us from truly entering into the confusion and the terror and the disbelief of that morning, we may miss it. It's no wonder that Mary saw a gardener before she recognized Jesus, for dead men are not supposed to walk. This event of Easter was so out of the ordinary, so life-altering, that this was the first story that early Christians told. They didn't talk initially about the teachings of Jesus. They were important, but there were others who taught in similar ways. And it wasn't even that they talked about the miracles. There were other miracle workers around the Mediterranean. It was this story, this startling belief that through this Jesus the Christ, the whole world was reconciled, made whole. Not even death could separate us from the love of God. I really hope he does. Part of what the small voice was whispering was that Mary of Magdala felt that night into morning. It was that same feeling. She couldn't even wait for first light. She walked to Jesus' tomb while it was still dark. She just wanted to grieve near his final resting place. And strange as it may be to hear this day, with all of our amazing music and the beautiful flowers and the candlelight, it is with this deep feeling, with a heart that aches, that we are to approach this Easter Sunday. And it's my sense that when we let all of ourselves be known, it isn't that far from our lives. Economic insecurity or growing inequality, radical climate trends, not to mention the pain and the suffering and the death of our everyday existence. Is it that hard to walk with Mary as she approaches the tomb? And walk we must, for as hard as it may be to hear, Mary's willingness to walk, to be with Jesus in his death, is essential to our living. While it was still dark, she went to the tomb unafraid, unafraid of encountering death. For it was her love that compelled her. In order for us to come close to this mystery, we must be able to die. Die to self, die to shame, die to fear. We must die in order to be able to live. As scholars remind us, Easter for those earliest followers was not simply a dramatic ending to a remarkable story, especially for those first Christians, those first generations, and ever since. Easter compels us not because it was an ending, but because it was an ending that became a beginning. And so, friends, this is what we come here to do this day, to trust in an ending that is actually a beginning. To trust that when we live from this truth, we will be fully alive. Alive to be all of who we are called to be. Alive to risk our love. Alive to give even unto death. For we trust that life is always on the other side. Mommy, is Jesus coming back? We'll have to wait and see. I really hope he does. Friends, I really trust that he did, and that with us, he still does.